Welcome to the West Point Church Podcast. Here you can find past and future messages. Be sure to subscribe so you get updates as soon as those sermons are posted. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a good week.
Well, good morning, everyone. We begin this series back in December of 2019. That seems kind of like an eternity ago. But I'm going to take you back all the way through everything that we talked about in these past few months and take you back to December of 2019. We started with the foretelling of the birth of Christ, and the angels appeared to Mary, and then Pastor Jake preached the message on the birth of John the Baptist, and we looked at then the birth of Christ on the Sunday right before Christmas, and we talked about the angels that came to the shepherds. We covered Jesus as a boy in the temple. And then we started out the new year talking about the baptism of Jesus. Then we covered his temptation in the wilderness. And we talked about how he taught in the synagogue, how he healed many people, how he cast out demons. And then we covered how he called his first disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And the same Jesus, how he taught in chapter 6. And we covered some of those things that he taught about. Then we talked about some of the parables that he used to teach. Used the parable of the sower as an example. And then Josh taught about the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. We talked about the Lord's Prayer. And then Pastor Michael talked about the rich fool who built barns in his wealth. And then during the first week of quarantine, Pastor Anna brought us through Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. Then we started with the importance of the house of God and what the church is really about. We talked about the prophecies of Jesus in the first week during our stay-at-home order. We talked about the humble king entering the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. And on Good Friday, we talked about the Last Supper and the crucifixion. Then we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the parking lot in the middle of a blizzard in Minnesota. And last week, Pastor Jake reminded us to be alert and aware of what God is doing and use the example of the men on the road to Emmaus. Well, this week, I'm going to be sharing the story of Jesus appearing to his disciples for the very first time. And next week, we're going to head straight into the book of Acts. Now, we have been through a lot the past few months. We went from our biggest Christmas weekend in the history of our church to no longer being able to meet together in person at all. This has been a wild time and a wild season. And this project that we've been on and going through the book of Luke has been a labor of love for me. It's by far the longest series I've ever preached. And I can honestly say at this point, I love the book of Luke so much. I love the way that it was written. And as I read through it many times over the last few months, it has just become so rich and so powerful to me. And I hope you've enjoyed it too. And if you've been with us the whole time, I truly believe that you have a really good understanding of the life that Jesus lived and the reason why he came to this earth. Now, all of these messages are available online. You can visit our video archives. And if you missed anything that you'd like to catch up on, I encourage you to do that, to jump on there and review that. Also, I can't think of a better way to transition from where we've been to where we're going. I'm so excited to tell you that about the reason why Jesus came to this earth, to make a way for us to be saved and to share that news with the rest of the world. And the vehicle that he chose to do that was through his church. And so the book that we're going to look at next, the book of Acts, was also written by Luke. And it tells the story of the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ, the very beginning stages. Christ leaves earth and hands off to his disciples this directive, this mission. But let's end this series well, first of all, in Luke 24. And we're going to begin reading out of Chapter 24, verse 36. Here's what it says. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy, they were marveling. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it before them. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." Now, I want you just to picture this scene for a second. Pretend that you're there in that room with the disciples and you're hanging out just a short while after Jesus' death. And remember, they hadn't seen him yet. Now, they had heard the story from the men on the road to Emmaus because they had recognized him. And he had appeared to the women at the tomb, and apparently he had appeared to Simon Peter. Luke's gospel tells us that as well. But the rest of the disciples had not seen him yet. So you can imagine that there was a significant amount of skepticism in the room. They're probably thinking, these people are wanting so badly to see Jesus that they're hallucinating. They're going crazy, right? So they're talking about the people that have seen him, and boom, suddenly Jesus is in the room with them, right? He didn't knock at the door. He didn't make an announcement. "Here I am, back from the dead." He's just there. And the first words out of his mouth are, "Peace be to you," which of course makes them freak out, right? So Jesus asks them, "Why are you troubled?" "Oh, I don't know, Jesus, because you were dead. They broke your legs. They ran a spear through your heart, right? They slashed your back and beat you up. And now if days later you're standing here talking to us," or maybe it was because that he just appeared in the middle of the room without walking through the door. Or maybe still yet it was because they had all abandoned him in his hour of need. I'm sure those moments were weighing heavy on their hearts as they saw Jesus face to face for the first time since his resurrection. And the second question he asks addresses their faith. He said, "Why do you doubt in your heart?" Now, we're going to talk about faith this morning, so hang on to that thought. Because he says next, "Look at my hands and my feet. I'm not a ghost, guys. It's actually me." Right? There are a lot of people that believe that Jesus didn't actually physically rise from the dead, that his spirit rose from the dead. Nope, sorry, this ends the debate. He rose physically from the dead. Now, there's some debate as to whether Jesus' appearance had been altered in some way after the resurrection because they didn't recognize him on the road to Emmaus. And so some scholars think that he maybe looked different, and that's why the men didn't recognize him right away. I think it was just a shocking revelation. I think they were in denial. One thing is for certain, though. He did not come back as a ghost. He was still fully God and fully man. He still had flesh and bones on, just like we do. And maybe to prove his humanity, he said, "Hey guys, I'm kind of hungry." Now, this is the saddest part of the story. Because look what they served him. Jesus shows up back from the dead, defeated sin and the grave, and they serve him broiled fish. Now, that better be some good fish, right? You know what I would have served Jesus? Bacon. Okay? Hey, Jesus, you fulfilled the old covenant. You defeated death. Now enjoy the fruits of your labor. Pork products. After he ate, Jesus said, I told you this was going to happen, right? You're looking at the fulfillment of the law and the Psalms and the prophets right in front of you. I love this part. Then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. Now we're going to come back to that, but I want to finish this story. Jesus is giving them his commission. He's saying, you're my witnesses. So first comes revelation, then comes responsibility. Can I tell you something? If you know the truth of the word of God, being a witness is not an optional activity. But here's the cool thing. It's not completely on you, right? He told his disciples, don't go and try to do this on your own. You're going to fail spectacularly if you do it that way. You have to wait until you have the Holy Spirit, until you have the promise. He's the one that will give you what you need to fulfill the mission that I called you to. Now, let's back up for a second and talk about faith. First of all, there are a few things that we need to understand. Luke tells us that even in their joy, they were struggling with disbelief. In fact, John's account tells us about the struggles that Thomas was having to believe in the resurrection. And Jesus went to Thomas and he showed him his hands and feet and convinced him that he was really real. But then he went on to say to him, this is from John 20, verse 29. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, first of all, faith is a gift from God. The point is this, you can't conjure up your faith. Romans 12 tells us that each of us has been given a measure of faith, but it's not the amount of faith that you have. Jesus tells us that even with faith the size of a mustard seed, you can pull up a mulberry tree, roots and everything, and throw it into the sea. God has given you all the faith that you need to serve him. But the question is, what will you do with it? You see, the second thing I want us to realize is that faith is grown through exercise. It's like a muscle. Every one of us are born with muscles. Now, when you're a newborn, you can't do much with those muscles, right? You can barely lift your arm. You can't even sit up on your own. You can't even hold your head up. But as you use the muscle that you have, it begins to grow into a stronger muscle. And soon, not only can you hold your head up, but you can pick your whole body up off the ground. I remember with our kids, setting them on their stomach and letting them struggle. And they would cry and fuss and get frustrated from that tummy time. But that struggle helped them to form the muscles in their neck and abdomen and back that they needed to pull themselves up. You know, this past week I was building a raised bed garden in my backyard, and Laura told Kayla that she had to help me. So she was out there, and I asked her to dig a little channel into the ground so that I could squeeze in the last board on the garden. And she dug and dug for about 30 minutes and was struggling with it. Well, I worked on something else, and after I finished what I was doing, I came over and quickly finished up what she had been working on, and she naturally complained to me, why would you ask me to do that when you could do it in 5 minutes? And I said, because when I was a kid, my dad let me struggle and help him, and I built up the skills and the muscles that allow me to do it fast today. Now, you are learning, but you'll get faster and stronger as you practice it. Now, the next step in our little building journey was to add some reinforcement to the side of the garden. It meant taking some posts and screwing them into the boards in the side of the garden. And I gave Kayla my impact driver and let her make some cuts with my skill saw. And after a little bit of struggle, she started to figure out how to use the tools the right way. and what would have been an incredibly difficult, maybe impossible task using hand tools, her skinny little arms were able to do it in seconds. Now, that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is like. When we have Him inside of us, we not only can do what God has called us to do, but we can do it more effectively. We can do it faster. Still requires growing in our faith, but it's a supercharged effort. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us and empowers us to do what He's called us to do. Faith can do a number of things, but it can also carry us through the difficult times. I remember a couple of years ago, I was talking with Teresa Lucas in my office, and we were talking about faith. And if you know Teresa, she is a woman that is filled with faith. But we got on the subject of how faith affects the way that we pray. And I don't remember exactly what she said, but this is my loose translation. She said, "I pray as if it's already what I'm praying for. I don't need to deny that I'm sick or pretend that everything is right in my world, but I don't need to confess the problem either. I need to confess the solution." Isn't that good? The Bible tells us that the power of life and death are in the tongue. That means what we believe about God should come out of our mouth, even when our circumstances are telling us a different story. We don't deny reality. We just acknowledge God and His power and that He's bigger than our circumstances. On Wednesday, during our Bible study meeting, I shared that it's easy for me in this time to get caught up in all the things I can't do anymore. Maybe you're there too. I've had to intentionally choose to focus on the things that I can do to put my mind in the right place. And it works the same way with our faith. When we speak with confidence the truth of who God is and what His Word says, our faith is strengthened. We're exercising that muscle. And this time away from all of you has been really hard for me. I miss being with you. I miss our time together. But I know that God is doing something in this time. And if we spend all our time focusing on what we're missing, then we might miss what He really wants to do. Let's walk through this season with faith and watch our God do what He does, taking something that was meant for harm and turning it to something good. And maybe you're here today and you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And today Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and He's asking you to invite Him in. And I want to give you that opportunity in just a minute. We're going to pray a prayer, and I'd ask that you would pray that prayer with me and maybe begin your faith journey today. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner and that I'm lost without You, that I need You and I need Your life. So Lord, I place my faith in You today. I trust in You as my Savior. I ask that You would come into my heart, that You would be my Lord and my Savior, that You would do what Your Word says and make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. So I repent of my sin and I choose to follow You with everything that's inside of me. And today I make that my commitment and my promise. I ask You to come into my life forever. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, you are beginning the greatest journey that you'll ever go on with Jesus Christ, and we want to help you in that process. So if you just click the link in the comment section right now, it's just westpoint.org/yes, and if you said yes to Jesus today, we'd ask you to just take a second and fill that out, and it's just going to give us an opportunity to get to know who you are, and then to be able to help you with some next steps on your journey with Christ. Now, I can't wait to get back together with you and to see you again in person. But until then, we're just encouraging you to stay connected to the vine that is Jesus Christ. Stay connected to His heart. Listen to His voice. Stay in His Word on a regular basis. We're going to put up some questions on the screen talking about some of the things that we talked about this morning. And if you're with people in your home, or maybe you're just by yourself, would you just take a second and review those questions? If you're with somebody else, talk about it with them. And then take your comments and post them in the comment section of wherever you're watching, on Facebook or YouTube, whatever it might be. And we'll get those questions. And then we're going to come back after about 5 minutes and worship the Lord together. And then we're going to go over those questions and read out some of the comments that you posted online. We want to hear what you have to say, and we're excited to hang out with you a little bit later. God bless you.